The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Hey there, this is Randy Barry, the number one asshole in the wrestling business, and you're listening to Apex Radio on the Shining Wizards Network.
But a short is me. Gold watch, diamond ring, I ain't missing not a single thing. Cufflinks, stick pin, when I step up on it, do you hear? They come a running just as fast as they can. They come a-running just as fast as they can. They come a-running just as fast as they can. Every girl's crazy about a short-lived man, yeah.
Welcome to another scintillating episode of the Apex Radio Show.
The most electrifying
podcast
in sports entertainment today.
It's been a whole week anew around here. Canadian Grand Prix Wrestling and Mecha Pro Wrestling joined forces this past Saturday to put on their first show in a beautiful brand new venue, the Agora Catholic Center in Cornwall, Ontario. The show was also for the first time taped for television, soon to be broadcast on TV Kojiko. Personally, I can't wait. I'd love to see it on TV. Finally, for the first time, Apex Radio brings you what I'd like to call a show follow-up show. That is to say, this episode of Apex is a follow-up to the great show from this past weekend. I'll give you the details on what went down, as well as share comments I got by pestering some of the wrestlers after their matches. Yeah, that's right. I'll risk life and limb to bring you, our loyal listeners, the inside scoop. I'm just that kind of guy. First up, a pre-show match between a couple of very talented young guys, Bradford Montague and the real JJB. Both men fought hard in what turned out to be a surprisingly back-and-forth match. But JJB, using, shall we say, his skill at doing things without getting caught, pulled out the win. I caught up with Bradford Montague after the match, and here's what he had to say.
You lost a pretty sketchy one to Joshua James. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. He's a tough guy. I did what I could. But in terms of strength and size, we were equally matched. But in terms of experience, he definitely had the upper hand. But anyway, I definitely learned a lot from the experience, and hopefully I'll be able to take him next time.
Hopefully. Thank you very much.
No problem. Have a good evening.
So it sounds like Bradford's got the right outlook on this, turning a negative into a positive by choosing to look at this match as a learning experience. It's a great perspective to have, and we'll look for big things from Bradford in the future. Brett McLeod took on Crimson X to open up the main show. A good match all around, but in the end, even the extensive high-flying arsenal of the very popular Crimson X just wasn't enough to overcome the more ground-based attack, you might say, of McLeod. And in the end, it was McLeod with his hand raised. It's obvious McLeod doesn't rely on the adulation or acceptance from the fans to get the job done in the ring. We'll see if that works for him in the future. A fine match to start the show. Fan favorite Jeff Fury came out to the cheers of the crowd and climbed into the ring, showing an obvious, if somewhat misplaced, enthusiasm for his upcoming match. As his opponent, the much larger Decker the Axeman LeDuc, entered the scene, you couldn't help but feel that a serious mismatch was about to occur. Sure enough, despite Young Fury's best efforts, LeDuc positively dominated in the match. In the end, LeDuc got the win, and Fury got to leave the ring clutching his ribs. After the beating he took at LeDuc's hands, it was pretty impressive, though, that Fury was even able to walk out under his own power. This kid Fury's tough as nails, nonetheless. It was a very painful match to watch. Here's hoping Fury's okay. Next up, Ray Steele was set to take on the returning Joey Valentine, accompanied by his fellow VIP member, The Rage, Randy Barry. That's Valentine's fellow VIP member, by the way, in case there's any confusion there. Although the odds were stacked against him, and despite several incidents of what I'd call blatant outside interference by Barry, Steele claimed the victory. A miscommunication between Valentine and Barry ended up with Barry on the floor and Steele with the opportunity he needed to get the pin. And Steele, of course, took full advantage of that opportunity. After the match, Barry took to the mic, verbally lambasting Valentine and warning him that he had one more chance to prove himself worthy of the VIP name. Valentine then disappeared into the back, purportedly to think things through, quote-unquote. I got little air quotes going on there. I was lucky enough, however, to catch up with Ray Steele afterwards and to get his take on what transpired during the match.
You just had a pretty hard-fought match against Joey Valentine. You pulled it out. Didn't look too good for VIP, though. What are your thoughts?
He brought a great match. I've never actually, I've never had the opportunity to work with Valentine, but, overall, it was a challenge for me. She really brought it today. I'm really happy I got through with the win. Unfortunately, they have a bit of a dysfunctional faction going on there, which unfortunately came to the turnout of the match. But overall, I'm happy. I'm happy I got over. And it was great. It was great performing for everybody here in Cornwall.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you.
Steele's comments made it clear to me, at least, that it was glaringly apparent, even to VIP's opponents, that there was some serious disparity within the faction. Later on in the night, we'll have to see how that plays out. The Mecca Pro Wrestling pound-for-pound championship match was shaping up to be a wild one. The champ, Derek Hamilton, who previously defeated his opponent, KL Shock, in a match for the championship at Headlocks for Hospice, had accused Shock of blaming his previous loss on a feigned shoulder injury. Shock denied this, stating that he had medical evidence of the injury and that Mecca Pro GM Joe Dunlap had even tried to prevent him from wrestling at Headlocks for Hospice. The tension between the two was indeed palpable going into this match. Right from the onset, the crowd spared no expense in letting Hamilton know of their dislike for him, calling his ever-present kilt a skirt and referring to him as a woman repeatedly. Hamilton, for his part, seemed extremely bothered by the fans' comments, and you had to wonder whether he was going to let it affect his match. At times, it certainly seemed to. In what can best be described as a controversial ending, Hamilton got the win by, and I'll say allegedly, because I don't want to, lawsuits or anything like that. It's kind of a hotbed, so I'll just stick to allegedly pinning Shock while Hamilton's feet were on the ropes. A somewhat unclear photo on Facebook by a certain radio show, taken by a certain radio show host who walks not softly but carries a big stick, has sparked some heated debate between the participants over the issue, with KL Shock on one side suggesting the photo was proof enough to substantiate a rematch, while Derek Hamilton on the other side categorically denied any wrongdoing. General Manager Dunlap actually commented on the matter as well, stating that the photo in question was not clear enough to make a decision. I'm insulted a little bit there, but said he would wait to review video evidence before deciding whether or not a rematch is in order. Attempts at getting a verbal response from the champion Derek Hamilton were rebuffed, but Apex Radio did receive an email from the champ just before airtime, which was brief but to the point, and it read as follows. I gave him a simple schoolboy pin, and the picture speaks for itself. The play on the field stands. Touchdown, Hamilton. End quote. I was, however, able to get Cale Shock's thoughts on the match shortly after it happened.
All right, Cale Shock, you just had a really hard-fought match for the pound-for-pound championship against Derek Hamilton. You lost under kind of dubious circumstances. What are your thoughts?
Obviously, I'm frustrated. You know, last month at Headlocks for Hospice, went after my arm, took advantage of me that way. Tonight, he had the feet on the ropes. You know, he's looking for me to look for excuses. That's not what I'm going to give. Next time you see Mecca Pro Wrestling, I'll be out here again. This isn't the end of me chasing that pound-for-pound championship.
Any change in your game plan next time?
Now I've learned to expect anything from Derek Hamilton. He's very fierce, he's very tough, and now I know that he's not afraid to pull out any cheap shots. So I'm just going to review the tape, kind of go over my game plan for next time, come back and hit it harder.
All right, sounds like a plan. Thank you, Cale Shock.
Thank you.
So it seems to me, anyway, that the issues between these two competitors and those surrounding the pound-for-pound championship are far from over. Another match with a volatile history behind it was the no-disqualification match between Payne the Hellraiser and Canadian Justice. Now, these two haven't seen eye to eye in quite some time, and it all came to a head this past weekend. As expected in any no-DQ match, especially one where the tensions run this high, the match was extremely brutal and very quickly spilled out onto the floor. Although Canadian Justice did have the upper hand over Payne many times through the match, including one memorable instance where Justice's son actually managed to land some very solid shots on a prone Payne. In the end, Payne won the day, courtesy of an absolutely incredible, and I mean incredible, top rope moonsault by Payne onto a garbage can laid across the chest of Justice. My describing it doesn't even do it justice, no pun intended. If you get the chance, you'll have to see it on TV for yourself to believe it. It was, it was awesome. I can't really describe it any other way. After the match, Payne grabbed the mic and proclaimed that he now, quote-unquote, owned the place, which he's been saying for quite some time. To prove his point further, he proceeded to deliver not one, but two bone-jarring package pile drivers to the poor referee, who had to be helped to the back afterwards. Can anyone stop Payne's rampage? I guess only time will tell. Dino, one half of the Mecca Pro Wrestling Tag Champs, the Incredible Hunks, wasn't able to attend, and no explanation for his absence was given. Dubious indeed, in my book. However, the other half of the Hunks, Cheeky, found a substitute partner in Magic Mary O'Brien as they proceeded to take on the Goat Brigade, comprised of Kirk Warmack and Shane Saber in a non-title tag match. Heavy and strong teamwork on the part of the Goat Brigade, as well as some apparent miscommunication between Cheeky and Bryant, led to the Goat Brigade pinning Bryant and securing the victory. I was able to get comments from the victorious team, the Goat Brigade, after the match.
I'm standing here with Kirk Warmack and Shane Saber. You guys had a great win tonight. You pinned, sort of one half of the Mecca Pro Wrestling Tag Champions. How do you feel about your win?
Oh, I feel great. First time here in Cornwall, and we could pick up a win. It's a big momentum.
Hopefully it gets us a tag title shot with him and his real partner next show, and start showing the Goat Brigade with those belts. It'd be very nice.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Come on, buddy.
Well, obviously, Warmack and Saber have their sights set on a shot at the tag titles. Not to stir up any dissent, but one glaring issue comes to my mind. It did at the time, and it still does. I have to ask, since Magic Mary O'Brien was the one that actually got pinned in that match and not Dino or Cheeky, sorry guys, who are Dino and Cheeky being the actual tag champs, but Mary O'Brien was the one that got pinned, would this still qualify the Goat Brigade for a title shot? Does this actually move them up in contention since the guy they pinned is not one of the tag champs? Who knows? All I can say is maybe this is a question best left for GM Dunlop to decide. Hopefully he'll let us know in the future, very soon. B-Machine versus the French-Canadian Freight Train Thunder was another one of those matches which, to me, practically screamed mismatch. Although it was a closer match than I suspected, in the end, B-Machine's speed, skill, and tremendous popularity with the fans proved, no match for the mighty Thunder. Thunder absolutely rocked B-Machine with the, thunderous chops that he's known for, and sealing the deal decisively with a ring-shaking splash from the top rope onto his victim, it was done. All in all, another multiple wince-inducing match from not just myself, but the crowd in general. Next up was another match that would prove to test the ever-loosening bonds of the group known as VIP. In the first match of the night's double main event, Randy Barry, accompanied to the ring by what seemed to be a very repentant Joey Valentine, was set to take on Damian Styles, a longtime thorn in VIP's side, with VIP member Persephone Vice acting as special referee. There were significant tensions between Randy Barry and Persephone Vice as well, culminating in Vice giving Barry one of her patented Vice Bombs at Headlocks for Hospice, a previous show for Mecca. However, on our last Apex show, Randy Barry, if you recall, assured General Manager Joe Dunlop and myself and the listeners that he had spoken with Vice since that incident and that everything was good between them and they'd worked out all their differences. The match itself was very exciting, filled with good solid wrestling from both combatants, although it soon became pretty apparent that Barry was right, as the only way I can say, biased officiating, let's just call it what it is, a spade, biased officiating, began to rear its ugly head on the part of Persephone Vice. There were some fast counts for Barry, some obviously slow counts for Styles, and some blatant disregard for low blows on the part of Randy Barry. It seemed to suggest that the match and the situation as a whole was going all VIP's way. At one point, Barry intentionally shoved Vice into Styles, knocking them both to the canvas. Taking advantage of the situation, Valentine jumped into the ring, pulled out a set of knuckle dusters, and proceeded to threaten Barry with them, only to deck a visibly shaken and wobbly Damian Styles with them at the last second. I guess, you know, all seemed well with VIP at that point. Valentine moved in, looking to embrace Barry, only at the last second to level him with a devastating cutter. Gasps were heard all around, from the audience, the crowd, myself. Valentine finished up things by dragging the unconscious Damian Styles on top of Barry and then pulling over the semi-conscious Persephone Vice to make the three count. He then disappeared pretty quickly from the ringside area. Styles came to, assuming he'd lost after being cold-cocked with the nucks, only to have Vice assure him he'd actually won. His hand was raised, he looked kind of confused, and he went to the back, still shaking his head in disbelief. As expected, when Barry came to, he was less than amused. He and Vice had some rather harsh words before GM Dunlap once again put in an appearance and announced that, as per the terms of the match, all of Randy Barry's standing in Mecca Pro Wrestling is null and void, and Randy Barry has to start over from the beginning, as he put it, quote-unquote, a curtain jerker. Barry and Vice continued their arguments after the GM went to the back, which led to some pushing and shoving between the two, and finishing up with Persephone delivering two more brutal, and I mean brutal, Vice bombs to Barry. I was able to track down and get comments from a visibly despondent Persephone Vice after that match.
After the events that went down tonight, I gotta ask the question, is VIP over with?
Well, the events that transpired this evening lay heavy on my heart right now. I didn't expect things to go down the way that they did. I thought we were okay. I thought we had mended our family. We were back together. We were a band again. VIP was in order. We were VIP. And now, you know, there's Valentine. There's Randy Barry. And now there's me, Persephone Vice. And we're not a cohesive unit anymore. I had to vice bomb twice someone that is supposed to be my friend, and I'm supposed to be theirs. I was there for Randy Barry in that ring tonight. I did what I could, and I still get blamed for it. So, I just don't feel right. It's not sitting well with me.
I don't blame you. So, I know this is probably an obvious answer, but I have to ask you, if this is going to get fixed, who's going to have to make the first move?
I would like Randy Barry to make the first move, that he sees his mistakes in this. But as you can tell, and as you know, as you witnessed this evening, he's very stubborn. He's got a hard head, and he is who he is. So I may have to be the bigger person. Wait, I already am the bigger person. Haha. And see what I can do if VIP can be a band once again, but only time will tell. Only time will tell.
And if it all does work out, you think things will ever be the same between the three of you?
No. I think all of us will be looking over our shoulders when we're in a match, when we're managing each other, when we're supposed to be, you know, have each other's backs. So I don't think things will be the same if, you know, the VIP unit becomes one again.
Thank you, Persephone Vice.
You're welcome.
Seems to me like Miss Vice is not quite ready to let the whole idea of VIP go just yet. I also managed to get Damian Styles' thoughts on the match and the bizarre ending of it.
I am here with Damian Styles. Talk about a weird ending to a very strange match. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
To be honest with you, I'm still in awe. I woke up thinking I lost the match. I mean, Randy Barry played it dirty, as I kind of figured he would. I was hoping to be able to catch him on it. I don't know what happened. I was told afterwards that I was hit in the head with some brass knucks, and I woke up and I got my hand held up. I'm like, I'm still trying to figure it out.
I don't blame you at all. Have you ever seen anything like this before in your career?
There's been times where I've seen some weird endings and that some things turn out at matches that you shake your head at, but this is the first for me. You know, I'm usually on point and I pay attention to what's going on. I mean, you know what, I like to play it straight up the line, and once in a while I get caught with people that are just, you know, playing a little dirty. Today was one of those days, but I came out on top, so I'll take the W any way I can get it.
And as I understand, when I was talking to Joe Dunlop on our show the other night, this might move you up the contention ladder.
Well, you know, the end result is we all want the same thing. The money is with the belt, you know, and the prestige is with the belt. So the whole idea of being here and putting myself through all this and beating the crap out of myself and challenging myself like I'm doing is to become the best in every promotion that I work in. So MPW, I'm coming for the belt. That's one way to get there. I'm working on it.
I believe it. Damien, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a good night.
So, although unsure of exactly how it came about, Styles seems pretty content to take the win, and who can blame him? A win's a win. The second of the night's two main events proved no less exciting as the Mecha Pro Wrestling Champion, the American Barbarian, prepared to take on Dave Titan. I can't honestly say it was a technically very pretty match, and that's miserable grammar, but I don't care, it's my show. But it was, without a doubt, some of the most brutal and hard-hitting action I have ever seen, and I've seen a lot of it. Most notably at one point, when the action had moved to ringside and the ref had been knocked out, Payne Hellraiser ran from the back, just lambasted Titan with the heavyweight belt, dragged the unconscious Titan into the ring, and urged the Barbarian to make the pin. Barbarian resisted, surprisingly, saying he could and would do this on his own without any help. The argument between Payne and the Barbarian continued long enough for Titan to regain his senses. As the Barbarian turned his attention back to Titan in the ring, the challenger executed a devastating spear on the champ. Devastating. I swear the ring shifted 3 inches, and he got the 1-2-3, winning the match and becoming the new Mecha Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champ. So on behalf of Apex, congratulations to Dave Titan for winning the Mecha Pro Wrestling title. After the match, the two shook hands, embraced, and the former champ, the Barbarian, in an impressive display of sportsmanship, the kind of thing that I like to see, raised the hand of Titan, the new champ. A phenomenal end to a phenomenal match to finish off a phenomenal show. It's just phenomenal. I ran into General Manager Joe Dunlap after the championship match, and I asked for his thoughts on the events of the evening. Needless to say, he was jubilant. Due to some strong language, listener discretion is strongly advised.
I'm standing here with Joe Dunlap. After the events that went down tonight with VIP, is it what you expected?
Stickman, you know goddamn well it's what I said was going to happen. The turd went to the bottom. We had a sellout fucking show here at Nativity Hall. There hasn't been a wrestling crowd this big in Cornwall in so long. I'm telling you, I got balls. I got integrity. I back my word up 150 fucking percent. The turd is at the bottom, and I'll see you in February.
What can you add to that, folks? Joe Dunlap.
So, afterwards, I headed backstage after the show in an attempt to get a few words from any of those people that I couldn't find earlier. I was trying to kind of wrap, you know, the show up. It didn't exactly turn out the way I'd hoped. I'm not going to bother telling you about it. I'll just let you hear it for yourself. Here's what happened.
All right. I'm backstage here at the Mecha Pro Wrestling Show. I'm hoping to grab a comment from one of these stars going by here. Somebody come by I could talk to. I see Randy Barry coming by. Randy, can I get your thoughts on...
Fuck off! Get out of here! You got no place backstage! You want me to fucking talk? book me on your show again, okay? Get the fuck out!
I'm getting.
So, as you've probably guessed, the invitation that Barry extended to me on our last show to go out for drinks with him after this past Saturday show didn't happen. obviously, Randy Barry's frustrated, embarrassed, and upset with the events that unfolded that night. And I'm not going to say who can blame him, because he deserves to be blamed. All in all, Canadian Grand Prix Wrestling and Mecha Pro Wrestling's first TV taping was, in my opinion, a huge success. A packed house and a wildly entertaining night of wrestling means a good night was had by all. Well, most anyway. Sorry. I can hardly wait until the next show on February the 8th to see the fallout from these events. I am very much looking forward to it. Now, once again, just going to throw out a few quick words from some friends of the show. A message from Dr. Tom Pritchard.
If you're looking to learn the art form of professional wrestling, if you want a place to go where everybody knows what they're doing, Body Slammers in Ottawa, Canada's a place to be. You can learn how to wrestle. You can learn how to bump. You can learn how to do anything you want in this profession. You want to be the best? Body Slammers is the place to go. Ottawa, Canada, that is your information center. Body Slammers, go there if you want to learn.
For more information on Body Slammers Pro Wrestling Gym, check out www.bodyslammerscanada.ca online, or check out their group on Facebook.
Hey guys, this is Overweight Larry, and I'm just curious, do you like professional wrestling? Well, I do, and when I want to hear about the good, the bad, and the ups and the downs, I tune into my friends at the Shining Wizards Podcast. They know everything about everything. And if they don't, well, they just make it up. It's actually kind of funny. Sometimes when I like to listen, I put my headphones on, I close my eyes, and the sweet sound of their full voices just puts me in a happy place. Shining Wizards is on the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com. Please tune in, because even when wrestling's bad, these guys are still pretty damn good. Tune in for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Let's face the facts. You're just like us. You're the type of person that enjoys heavy metal music, professional wrestling, a cognac every once in a while. That means you get blackout drunk. So we did you a favor by creating a show called Neckbreaker Podcast, which celebrates and discusses the greater things in life, the finer things in life.
Wrestling headlines, metal news, and guest interviews while your hosts and guests slam drinks. We've already interviewed Eric Bischoff, Fit for an Autopsy, Power Glove, pro wrestler Brian Fury, and many more. New episodes premiere every 2 weeks on Neckbreaker.net, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and on the Shining Wizards Network. Or if you're really lazy, just follow our drunk updates on Facebook and Twitter at NB Podcast. Cheers! And beers.
And ooh.
This is the impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and you're listening to Apex Radio on the Shining Wizards Network.
Transport yourself back to the 80s and 90s with Mike and Adam on The Midnight Jury. They take you on a journey to the last old school generation to discuss pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture, all from South Street in Philadelphia. Past guests include the original on-screen Chucky and Gale, Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and more. Broadcasting at 5, 4 Central on Geek Life Radio. Available on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher Radio, and for the Shining Wizards Network at swn.shiningwizards.com. Take that trip back to the 80s and 90s with Mike and Adam on The Midnight Jury, a WLW Studios production.
Hey everyone, JJ Piedra here, and I'm inviting you to check out Pulse In Radio. If you're into video games, technology, anime, or anything geek culture, Pulse In Radio has you covered. You can visit us at pulseinradio.com, follow us on Twitter at pulsein, or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/pulseinradio. Be sure to check us out, and Godspeed.
Hello, all you Funkophiles and Funkophilettes. This is the one and only guru of the grappling groove, the Wolfman Jack Foley himself, telling you to listen in on the Shining Wizards podcast network to hear Wolfie and his freaky friends delivering the funniest and finest in funkery to the Mac-loving masses. There's our old buddy Shyman.
Don't be a ham.
Miss Mabel Murphy.
Naughty.
Mr. Nick Nails.
Now I'm going to split your lips to the side of your face.
And our newest funky friend, Overweight Larry. So listen in, and always remember to keep those funk levels at a maximum. Your forearms and funk radio spectacular. It's always funky fresh.
Oh!
And now, the local indie news. This Saturday, November 16th, Big Time Pro Wrestling presents Second Chances. The Rideau Carlton Raceway, 4837 Albion Road, as usual. Doors open at 6:30, bell times at 7. Scheduled to appear, Crimson X versus KL Shock. Young Guns Championship, the champ Brett McLeod versus a newcomer, Channing Decker. That should be interesting. Some new talent to shake things up, as GM Dunlop promised. Some more new talent, the exception, Eddie Sapalucci, takes on Zeddy Breeze. And of course, the Second Chance qualifying matches, where the winners will advance to the Big Time Pro Wrestling Championship Tournament. You're going to see Randy Barry versus Ray Steele, Shane Sabre versus Joshua James, Dave Titan versus Jack Rushton, and Damian Styles versus Weapon X. These guys get a second chance at a shot at the championship. You don't want to miss it, folks. Advance tickets are $12, $15 at the door. Message Big Time Pro Wrestling for your tickets. I will post, as always, the event details on the Apex Wrestling Facebook page. Check them out. It's going to be well worth it. So that's going to about do it for Apex for another episode. Bear in mind, as always, Apex Radio
helps build strong bodies eight ways.
So that's it for this show. I'll be back next time to bring you guys more news and interviews that you can use. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in.